Welcome to the First Baptist Church podcast. We're excited to share this midweek conversation with you as Glenn Harrison sits down with Pastor Jerry Hendricks. If you would like to subscribe, find us on iTunes or go to fbcsweetwater.org.
Hello, welcome to this week's midweek conversation. I'm here at the table with Teek Hamilton, and we're ready for some conversation about Palm Sunday and things coming up during Holy Week.
Holy Week is always an exciting time and always one of my favorite times of the year, maybe right before Advent.
Yep, it's a good week. As a part of our process this week, we invited Glenn Harrison back to the table with us to talk with us about some of the texts this week. Glenn is a district judge and been a practicing lawyer, so we thought, well, why not? It'd be good to have your perspective on some of this this week as we think about the trial and crucifixion of Jesus. So, well, glad you're here.
I'm glad to be back. That's a dangerous thing to see, to get it from a lawyer's point of view or a judge's point of view, but we see things differently sometimes. Or,
well, we felt like, I know you're a baseball guy, so this was your second pitch. So okay. We'll see
second,
how we do.
Second chance.
Yeah, second chance. We'll see how we do with this.
No beard this week for him. No shaved head for me.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with you two guys. But
yeah,
anyway,
clowning around here.
Yeah. We're serious this week.
We've got it down. So it's Holy Week. Sunday, we celebrated Palm Sunday with our worship time, with the children involved in choir. It's one of those high moments in church life in terms of our worship, and it was a real good day.
For those that listened to the conversation or were there Sunday, you didn't go with the normal passage. There's a later passage with the palms, but you went and talked about the trials that Jesus faced with going to Pilate and things like that, and that's one of the reasons Glenn's here. So is there anything you want to kind of elaborate on from that before we get into the conversation?
No, it's one of those things where it's hard to, in that time frame, to condense everything and to talk as much as you can about all the other elements that we go through. A lot of Holy Week is something of a personal experience unless you're already involved in other worship services that highlight those things. And so there was just a portion Sunday where we mentioned that. But in talking to Glenn before we started today, I think it's interesting for us just to have that perspective as we go into this Holy Week, thinking through some of the inconsistencies and the injustices we used. That was one of the words that we used Sunday. So, Glenn, go ahead and elaborate. Get us started in talking about this process.
Well, when you just mentioned the word trial, my ears perk up as I'm in the courtroom on a regular basis. And there are two types of problems, and you can really get in the weeds on this. But you see the procedural laws that they violated, the Jews, the Sanhedrin, by having the trial at night, by condemning someone in one day. That was the law, was that it have to be a two-day trial. They wouldn't rush to judgment, and yet they did that. And then they would turn around and try to fulfill the law, and instead of taking him out and stoning him, as Israel would do with people at times, they at that point realize that they can't do this during a festival time, and so they take him to Pilate. And so it's very frustrating in one sense as a lawyer to see all the way they're messing up, the injustice, but then also seeing God's sovereignty, that he's working through man's sinfulness to carry out his will, that Jesus came to die to save his people, even through all the sin that was going on and the motives, the bad motives of the people that were involved in it.
I think one of the perspectives that I was trying to capture Sunday was just this idea of chaos that we all experience as you're seeing the whole thing unfold, whether you're, regardless of what, you know, you're coming from and how you view it, whether you're reading it or whether you are actually there, high degree of chaos.
That's an excellent word from my point of view. Legally, there was chaos going on, and they go from one court to Pilate at that point, and it's a mess in both areas legally. And yet, you see God's will being carried out.
Well, and surreal. I don't like that word really, but you hear it a lot. But that's one of what's going on for the people as they observe this. It's out of control, and it's not. There's nothing about this that begins to make sense to them.
Yeah, I think they're making decisions on the fly at some point, and it seems like they're not sure how to carry out. They know what they want to happen, how best to make that happen. I think they change tactics, and they think, well, let's take him to Pilate. And they even change the charge at that point. It's not that he's a blasphemer. They change it and say he's treasonous against Rome, which would cause Rome to carry out a crucifixion.
So in some ways, was it a sense of urgency on their part?
I think so. I mean, they knew the crowd was in a fever pitch. They were making decisions. The longer it went, the worse it was going to get. They didn't want to violate their own law and have a crucifixion, a death or a stoning during a festival. So let's take him to Rome, and we can have it done what we want, and it will be, in Rome's hands, so to speak. And thus, through that, it even fulfills the scripture that the Messiah would hang on a tree, which that wouldn't be the normal way of condemning a prisoner or someone who's blasphemed in the Jewish law. They would be stoned. And so you see God's will being worked out through what seems like just a late game change plan there.
Well, I think it's the sense I get just listening to you go through that again is just how much was going on in that very short period of time, that it's a great framework for us when we think about our faith and the significance of this week in particular. I appreciate you sharing that perspective and joining us here today on this.
Sure, I'm happy to be here.
I think we miss a lot of that chaos, that back and forth, because we don't have enough services to experience that during the week of Holy Week. I mean, there's so many different things going on. On Palm Sunday, you have a choice between focusing on the palms and everybody coming in celebrating, or focusing on the trial. And even then, a lot of times we only think about Pilate. We don't think about the back and forth and the different trials that happened during the night. And then I was reading today, and N.T. Wright talks about how with Pilate, he just didn't want to have something happen on Passover. There's all these people there. There's too much chance for a riot. He wants to make everybody happy and just get them out and have a nice, peaceful holiday and not have to worry about this commotion. And then it's put on his doorstep because they won't take care of it themselves.
Almost always going to be a bad thing if a judge tries to keep the people happy. And he was. He kind of knew the right thing to do, but knew it was going to cause turmoil. And he went with the popular decision, so to speak, and obviously the greatest injustice that in the world that happened. But as we know from the other point of view, is our salvation is rest on that.
Yeah, Mark's very clear in what you read Sunday that Jesus is innocent and Pilate understands that. But then he chooses to go with the crowd. He goes with the court of opinion, I guess, public opinion.
Yeah.
That's frustrating, but like you said, God's will being done.
It'll get you, on this earth, it'll get you in trouble every time, but... and that's, to me, where it magnifies God's sovereignty to work through man's chaos and bad decisions and sinful decisions and agendas, that God is greater than all that.
That's a good word.
I liked as I was looking through that passage you did Sunday, that Mark's very clear about this idea of Jesus being the King of the Jews. And you pointed out that I like this kind of stuff, and I do. But three times in those 15 verses, somebody says, Jesus is the King of the Jews, and it's not Jesus himself. In fact, Jesus is silent and stand when he stands accused, and Pilate is astonished at that. And I couldn't help but thinking, what is that kingdom life? What does that Jesus being the King of us look like on a regular basis? How do we live that out?
You see the calmness of Jesus in the midst of all man's chaos. We see that as... stands out to me as when you talk about chaos, you don't see it from Jesus. He knows what's happening to him. He's being railroaded, and he is silent as a lamb at some point. He's letting it happen.
If you back up just a little bit, no matter where you believe, this happens later in Holy Week. There's so many things that lead up to this that build on that chaos moment. And one of the big ones is Jesus cleansing the temple. And you talked a little bit about that as you were telling the story, which the way you told the narrative, I think brought it to life for me. And I know from talking to other people, it brought that whole experience to life for them. But that cleansing of the temple moment seems to be the place where it just tips. And it's almost immediately that it tips against Jesus, that this is the final breaking point when someone comes in and throws over tables in the temple and upsets that religious standard. And I think that starts off that week of chaos for Jesus and for his disciples, because even at that point, I think the disciples are still going, we're with the right guy. He's turning the temple over.
Yeah, and trying to get ready for Sunday, you're looking at, you know, how much you feel like you can bring into that and bring in the whole story. And so it's kind of hard to start that. But also thinking back to when we were studying Exodus, talking about the tabernacle, I mentioned it then, but we didn't go into it in depth. Probably could have at that moment and talk about that a little bit more, about the significance of that and the fact that that's God's presence. I mean, the temple was the place where God dwelt, and then yet Jesus is there, and he is the presence of God. And he's the one who resurrected that chaos in the temple because of what was going on. But one of the things that we've not talked about in the process of doing this podcast is some of the things that we've been reading to kind of help frame our thoughts about this. And you may have referred to that to N.T. Wright, but you and I picked up a book a while back that he wrote called God Became King. And that's been a very important book in our thought as we've worked through this Easter season. In fact, so much so that I've kind of made a commitment that every year I want to kind of find that book that puts me in that frame of mind to work through and up to Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah, that even kick-started our series in Exodus from that book and how he approaches this idea of God becoming king. So, Mr. Wright, if you're listening to us, we want to say thank you for writing that book. We appreciate it.
And you see Pilate playing into that, even with the inscription he places above Jesus in a mocking way, but prophetically, that here's the king of the Jews. And that's not what at all Pilate meant to do. He meant to kind of rub their noses in it, I think, and yet it's right there again.
Yeah, Mark wants you to see those things as telling the truth, even though Pilate is using it in a mocking way. But, you know, Mark shapes Jesus as a totally different kind of king, especially as you see the servant nature of him. And then other gospels where he washes the disciples' feet during this week and how he lives that out of what it is to be the greatest.
Right, yeah.
So, what about with this idea of Holy Week? Are there any, we talked a little bit yesterday about it with the other pastors, but are there any specific practices that you do during Holy Week to help you experience this? We talked yesterday about really slowing down during Holy Week. Is there anything you do to experience Holy Week, or individually, as a family?
This year, I was trying to get ready for the series, and particularly coming at it and starting the Lenten series with Exodus and then also using gospel writings. I was a little concerned about my own thoughts about how I was going to prepare for that, so I bought a few books that kind of helped me along the way. And one of those was a book that talks about the Stations of the Cross. And so I've saved that book. It's sort of almost a devotional type book. And so I've read through that, or reading portions of that throughout the day this week, and then also following along with the lectionary readings each morning, and having to set myself some reminders, because it's a different routine for me. But it's been a week where I've been able to kind of carve out that time to really soak up the scripture and the story of Jesus. But that's this year, that's kind of what I was able to do.
So would you recommend the Stations of the Cross book for somebody?
Yeah, it's not bad, but let me get a little bit further into it. But
it might be in later show notes.
It might be in the show notes. Not quite an N.T. Wright book.
Okay, well, yes.
Well, for those who are not reading N.T. Wright right now, something I've done for the last number of years this week is, and kind of through talking with Teague, at times we talked about not preaching the cross without preaching the resurrection, but not preaching the resurrection without preaching the cross, but focusing this week particularly on the cross and the suffering and all that Christ went through on my behalf, on our behalf. And so I have watched every year the Passion of the Christ, and it, you know, I don't know that I'd recommend it all, but it does visually demonstrate what our Savior went through for us, and it's a good reminder to me the suffering that he went through, that I tend to can read over pretty quickly, but when I get that visual, it's very sobering.
For me, I sit down during the week of Holy Week, and I go through each gospel, the Passion and the Death and the Resurrection, and read how each gospel writer portrays that experience. For John's usually the last one I'll do, and it's just the power of Jesus in that experience. But when you read Mark, you see the humanity of Jesus in that experience. And so that's good for me to put those four back to back to back and to experience that during Holy Week. And you get a clearer picture of who Jesus was and how people saw him and how people viewed him.
One of the things you mentioned yesterday in your student ministry is how you encourage kids to slow down.
Right.
And I think that's a part of what happens to us. That's a part of life for sure in our schedules. But in particular, we have a week where we really want to soak up the experience of Jesus as much as we can. The chaos doesn't let you go do that. I mean, chaos hurries you up. It speeds everything up so that things are out of control. So to try to reverse that and slow down, I think, is important, too, in our experience. And let each of these experiences unfold for us in our faith life, in our reading, in our devotion, and then let those things speak to us. But lots of good practices out there for people during Holy Week for sure that kind of help them in their spiritual formation.
I think the final part for me in the conversation from Sunday was the personal aspect of of Barabbas, the one who was condemned to die, living, and the one who was innocent being the one who's condemned to die. And I think that resonates through that conversation, through Holy Week, through our experience with the cross on Good Friday, and through the Resurrection Sunday. This idea that that's our place, that's our what we deserved, but Jesus took that place for us and conquered death because we couldn't have.
I don't really haven't thought of it that way before, but that's pretty sobering too, to put that we really are in the shoes of Barabbas, somebody that obviously deserved to die, and he went in his place. That's humbling to know that we're just as guilty in other ways, right. and he went for us.
Yeah, it's at that moment that it starts to get personal, I think, for us as we walk through that experience.
And that's what this week for me, it just, as much, probably more than any other week, it just gets really personal and really focusing on what he did for me, and not just for me, but that's what I'm focusing on, obviously, and being humbled by that our God would do that for us.
I know in youth Wednesday night we're doing the Stations of the Cross with our students, taking them through that experience, and I know Friday we have Good Friday service, and then Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Is there anything you want to say about where we're going the rest of this week?
Well, we enjoy the experience of Holy Week in a number of ways, and one of the ways that we have kind of entered into that experience is through a Tenebrae service, which is a service that deals with shadows and darkness, kind of helps us to put ourselves in that tension of waiting. I think it's easy for us to get excited about Resurrection Sunday and all that it entails, the family, the worship, the study, and all that. And it's another one of those things that kind of reverses that for us. It makes us slow down, makes us think. And so on Friday night at 6 o'clock, we'll have the Tenebrae service here in our worship center. And then on Sunday, we'll have our classes at 9:15 and then worship at 10:30. We'll also have an exciting part of our worship service. We'll be baptizing, or Teak will be baptizing, three of our students who have been in our student ministry, so we're excited about that. Really a fun way to celebrate on Resurrection Sunday.
Not much of a better picture than on Resurrection Sunday than someone being baptized.
That's right, and so we're looking forward to that. We starting the series, or the series of conversations after the resurrection, will be in the book of Acts, and that's always a good study, but let's linger here for a while.
Yeah, I tend to rush ahead, but this week does slow me down some, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here, Glenn.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we're having fun doing this, and if you have any ideas for us or questions, suggestions, be sure and let us know. You can email us at the church at mail@fbcsweetwater.org, and we'll get that and work that into the show. And we always appreciate the comments and hope that you'll subscribe and tell your friends about it. And if you can, be here on Sunday. We'll celebrate together at 10:30.
I'll be here.
See y'all later.